Life Audio.
The Bible Study Podcast, episode 857. Today, the Bible Study Podcast continues a study of the book of Psalms, and particularly a study of chapter 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. This is Chris Christensen. We continue our study of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, as I said, is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's broken up in 22 parts. We've been doing them about three per week, and it is an acrostic, meaning each part begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and we start today with the character Nun, N-U-N. But first, a word from this sponsor.
Did you know that the Salvation Army not only provides services to those in need, but we also produce a network of Christian podcasts you can listen to on your favorite podcast store? One of these shows, Words of Life, is a 15-minute weekly show featuring interviews, testimonies, Bible studies, and more. In April, we'll once again hear from author and pastor Natalie Runyon. She has created a new 6-week discipleship course for women to talk about community, women in leadership, accountability, and more.
We want discipleship to be what's drawing people, not bounce houses. They're more likely to come back and not just to be entertained. Even in me, you know, making him have to pry it from my hands, he was still saying, but I have something better. It was because of the redeemed saying so, of telling the story of what God had done. When we point people to him, they're going to want to know him.
Listen to Words of Life on your favorite podcast store or visit wordsoflifepodcast.org.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
N-U-N, none. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. So that first verse there, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, might be familiar for those of you who know a praise song that uses these words. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Takes from here, I believe, if not here, from somewhere else in the Bible with this phrase is also used, but the idea here is that the word of the Lord, the Bible, the scripture, Old and New Testament, that they give us an idea of where to step, that they give us an idea of what steps are good and what steps are bad. And you can imagine if you were out at night and you were on uneven ground, you know, the one you'd want to do is pull out your flashlight or your phone, for those of us who live in those age, and put some light on your feet so you can walk and tread appropriately. And that's the same thing that the psalmist is saying here about the word of the Lord. It lets me know where to go. I've taken an oath, confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. Again, the psalmist is saying here that their plan is to follow God. Their plan is to follow what God wants them to do. And that has led to consequences. They also say that I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. That there have been some costs for following God. And that also might be for us. That it might break some relationships if we follow God. It might disable some paths for us in the sense of, I might want to go down this path, but God doesn't want me to go down that path. He has something better in mind, but I may not see that. And so there's that. And then also, of course, you can have persecution, and which is, we get that sense from this psalmist as well. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. So the psalmist has made a plan to follow God, but still has much to learn, or still has some things to learn at least, and asks that God teach him. And that is an appropriate prayer for all of us. You know, it's the Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I know what I know. Help me to know more. Help me to know more of you. Help me to grow in my knowledge of you and what pleases you. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Now, most people, and I think God is included, you don't really have to ask, is it okay if I praise you? But the psalmist is wanting to praise God for their relationship and wants to learn more, wants to dwell in the laws of God, which again are that light for the psalmist's feet. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. That's an interesting phrase. I don't know if you're constantly feeling by following God, you're taking your life in your hands. That is something that I can't say that I can share that feeling with the psalmist here, but that's how the psalmist, that's how it feels to the person who wrote these words here, that for some reason that the act of following God meant they take their life in their hands. And certainly if you're in some places and in some situations, you're going to find that to be true. Less so for those of us like me who live in the U.S. in 2024. Well, you may hear nonsense about, you know, how persecuted we are and things like that. It's nonsense. We are free to live out our faith. But in some places in the world, that is not true. And they really are taking their life in their hands because they're a Christian. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. And again here, that there is opposition because of their faith in God and in the law of God particularly. And I will mention this again once every chapter or once every episode, that when we talk about the law of the Lord, remember that Jesus' summary of it is that it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbors yourself sums up all of the law. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heritage forever. There are few things that we have that are our heritage. We tend to be a society that buys stuff and throws stuff out. But I have a few things that are given to me that are a reminder of my family. I have just recently came into the inheritance of my father's my grandfather's spurs. He was a cowboy in the Old West. He was there in the closing days of the Old West. He died at almost 100 years old. He was 98 when he died in 1989, and he had been on the last roundup in Colorado. And so the spurs are just a bunch of old metal, and yet it's somewhat of my heritage. It's more important to me because of who it came from and because of the history with that. And the psalmist is saying, your statutes, the law, are my heritage forever. They are part of my history now also. They're part of who I am and who and how I have been made. We are formed by our relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with others, our especially those significant relationships in our life. And the psalmist is saying the law of the Lord in their life has been significant and has helped form them. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. The next letter, Samech. I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from you, evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their delusions come to nothing. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. Breaking this down, I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. I'm not sure that we are really called to hate, certainly in the light of what Jesus said in the New Testament and what John, for instance, the apostle says. You say you love God, but you hate your neighbor. How can you love the God you haven't seen if you hate your brother that you have? But I understand why double-minded people might be something that the psalmist would really get under the psalmist's skin, especially if we talk about the law and truth and those sort of things that are wrapped up in the law. The law has a lot to say about truth-telling, right? That we're not supposed to give false witness, that we're not supposed to, you know, have two sets of measures, meaning that we buy with one set of measures and sell with another set of measures, meaning we cheat. We are supposed to love truth and people who love truth. And so I understand the psalmist saying here, those double-minded people, those people who are false, that is not who we are called to be, and that's not who we are called to hang out with, that is not who we are called to follow. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. You protect me because I am yours, because I am following what you want me to do. Away from you, evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. There are times we do need to separate ourselves out from those who are in other courses, those who are following other things. Now, obviously, we are in this world, and we are called to be in this world, but not of it. And that does sometimes mean that there are relationships for people that we have relationships with people who are not faithful to God, and that those might sometimes get in our way. It doesn't mean we're called to separate ourselves completely from those who are not Christians. In fact, how would they become Christians? And God cares a lot about them. God wants them to be in relationship with him. But on the other hand, if we find that we are being influenced by that relationship with someone, then it might be best for us to step away. Sustain me, my God, according to your promises, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. So I'm trusting in the promises of God, what God has told me to do, that if you live this way, that there will be a good outcome. Don't let my hopes be dashed. Lord, fulfill your promises that you will be there, that you will be faithful to me as I'm trying to be faithful to you. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees. And I don't know that I would say it quite the same way. I would say that God gives us the free will to walk away. And those who are straying from the decrees of God are walking away. And God will let them go. Uphold me, support me, strengthen me, give me courage, give me encouragement, because I need deliverance. There's some problem, there's some set of situations, some evil doers or whatever that I need deliverance from. I will always have regard for your decrees. I will always follow you. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their delusions come to nothing. Now, I wouldn't say it quite the same way that God rejects those who stray, but that God gives us the free will to stray, and that God will let us go. If we head away from God, God will let us go. And their delusions come to nothing. If we think about it, the understanding is that if what Jesus said is true, if he is the only way to God, for instance, that all other thoughts, all other paths, all other directions are folly. All other directions lead away from God and lead to destruction. And so their delusions come to nothing. They're believing in things that are not true. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross, therefore I love your statutes. Again, I wouldn't say it this way. God does let people head away from him. God does let people go to destruction. But God still loves them. We know from elsewhere in the scriptures. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. I think of the people I stand in awe of. For me, it's not the sports star. It's not necessarily the musician who have singular abilities in some area, but those who are wise, those who are intelligent, those who bring wisdom through what they say. And I think that's the kind of thing that the psalmist is seeing in the law of God. We only did two letters this time, but I'm going to stop it there. And we'll continue, pick this up next week. If you have any questions, send an email to host@thebiblestudypodcast.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at thebiblestudypodcast.com. And thanks so much for listening. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.